Thank you so much for tonight, and for those who couldn't make it, also be with them, Lord. And we just pray for a great time tonight, that your Holy Spirit will teach us what you want us to learn, Lord. So thank you for my brothers here. I pray for them and their families, Lord, and thank you for bringing them here safely and taking them home safely when it's all said and done. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Please be with us. We're here to honor you and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I forgot about Israel.
Yeah.
Let's pray for Israel.
Israel.
Father in heaven, we forgot to pray for not only Israel, but we want to pray for all the nations, Lord, that are going through tough times right now, through wars. And we know there's missionaries out there that need protection and guidance and strength and wisdom, Lord. So we pray that you be with them and just bring peace. We know the true peace comes from your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to read the first two verses in chapter 11 of Revelation. Then I'm going to ask you guys what temple you guys think this temple is.
First two verses
of Revelation chapter 11.
Right here on your paperwork?
Well, in your Bible. We're going to read the first two verses.
Chapter 11?
Yes, sir. Verse 1 and 2. We left off last week. You know, John gets this book, and he eats it, right? And it's sweet as honey in his mouth, and then in his stomach is what? Bitter.
Bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's told to grab a reed. This is verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, then I, John, was given a reed like a measuring rod. So this reed is some sort of rod that is used for measuring things. So he's telling him to measure this. Well, we're just reading. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God."
Now, are you in 10 or 11?
Verse chapter 11.
Verse 1.
I was given a reed like a measuring rod. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there." So he's telling them to measure three things, right? What is he telling them to measure? What?
Temple.
The temple, the altar, and the people who worship there.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, leave out the court, which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Mm-hmm. Now, because I like to read different translations, and I know the New American Standard doesn't have the word angel, right? What does the New American say? Anybody else have New American? You have New American, right, Justin? What are you reading?
I'm reading what you're reading. I can go to the New American Standard.
King James. I think you're the only one, right?
It doesn't say angel.
It says a voice, right?
It says there was...
Someone said.
Huh? Someone said. Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
Someone said.
And then when it says Gentiles, New King James, does King James have Gentiles?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gentiles.
Yeah.
And the New American says nations instead of Gentiles. Right, Tony?
It says nations.
Right. So, a couple observations there. How do we know... Well, obviously we know it's an angel. How do we know that it's an angel talking to John here?
From the previous chapter.
Yeah, from the previous chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting in verse... We could even go past 10, right?
No, it's yeah, like 10. It says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it.
But we have to...
No, but that's John who ate it.
Yeah,
that's John Wayne.
We gotta make a distinction because in 10 it says another mighty angel coming down.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta make sure. Wait.
Well, in 9,
we pick up the
verse angel? 9. You said
in 9 of 10, it says the angel told him to eat it.
Yeah. So this is the same angel that's telling him to
that
measure.
Is speaking to, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we know? So if we let's say we were reading New American, it says nations. How do we know it's talking about Gentile nations? Like, Tony, like, you're reading New American, right? Did you know that nations meant Gentiles?
Well, yeah, because
without reading the average option, without reading commentaries, nothing like that. Just
if reading, if you say the word nations, it's including more than one country.
One, yeah.
So that has to be other than Israel,
right? Greek or Gentiles, right?
It's about Israel too. They would specify Israel,
right?
Yeah.
In the Bible, it's you're either a Jew, Israel, or you're a Gentile.
I mean, obviously, Israel can be part of the nations because I mean it's also a nation itself. But I mean, I think in this retrospect, they would say Israel if they were talking about Israel.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So that's good. You guys are. It's good to know that because
you always learn.
Right. So, like I said, in the Bible, it's either Israel or the nations, and the nations are the Gentiles, and it could be anything, and it could be any country that's not Jewish. It could be who's that? Hey, Eric.
Sorry, running late.
No problem. Good to see you.
What's up, Eric?
Here you go, Bob.
All right. No, Eric.
Eric?
We're in Revelation 11, Eric.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the temple. All right, so let's start with Al. What do you think that temple... Well, there's three... The three views that I'm really studying is... number one, this temple is the actual temple that's standing during this time that John is writing. So how would we phrase that? During John's time.
That temple was destroyed by the Romans.
Second temple. Right?
John's time. Let's just to make it simple. Mm-hmm. Number two could be the temple in the Great Tribulation.
Right, that's coming from heaven.
And I got to really, really emphasize this because we're gonna talk about it. It has to be the 7 years... Tribulation temple. And then the third, does anybody know?
The one in heaven?
That is coming down from heaven.
Well,
and Christ is going to sit in it.
Well, two weeks ago, we had three, we looked at three views of the end times, right? We looked at the dispensational premillennial, we looked at the historical premillennial, and then we also looked at the preterist amillennial. We can mix that together because they believe in sort of the same things. So the third one is it's symbolically, guess what?
The church.
The church. Mm-hmm. So Al, what do you think?
You misspelled it.
No, I did.
I mean, I can see because
that's this church.
When Jesus says destroy this temple, and when he said he'll raise up, and he meant his body, which meant us. Yeah. I can see, but I don't. The fact that he tells him to measure, that goes in line with building and construction.
It's the new temple.
It seems
there,
like
but a no, let me call. Okay,
I think it's a little bit of a stretch to go to think it's the church. I mean, I can see somebody maybe.
So, which one would you pick?
Oh, I would pick...
Wait, what's the question? Which one would we pick for...
The temple.
I would pick the...
What is the temple, one of those three?
I would choose this.
Number two?
Which temple of God is this referring to? That's your question?
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't make myself...
Rebuilt. It's the temple rebuilt after John's time, because after that, we know that the temple was destroyed.
So you're picking number two?
I would... I mean, if I had to choose between the three, I would choose the
temple. Yeah, number two, yeah.
How about you, Tom?
He didn't hear you.
No, he didn't. He's thinking.
Maybe the temple that comes with the new heaven and the new earth?
Yeah.
Is the part of these three here? Is it because these are the three major views that...
Well, then... It could be the number two, the new temple that's built, right? That's what you're referring to?
During the 7-year tribulation period?
That's you're referring to the new temple that will be built?
The temple that's going to be built in during the 7-year tribulation period.
They're going to have the abomination of desolation in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin?
I would say the 7-year tribulation temple.
Okay. How about you, Eric?
Me too.
Brandon?
I might go against the grain and say John's time.
Okay. There's no wrong with that. Remember, end time prophecy, there's many views on having an end time view of prophecy, okay? Like, for example, John Visser, who's not here today, he grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and he didn't believe like the way we believe here at this church.
I grew up in a Presbyterian church. My dad was actually a Presbyterian pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always heard it.
Well, I'm not saying all Presbyterians, but the majority of them.
I know there's a real mess up
there. Or you forgot me.
I'm going to you now.
What do they believe? I'm not familiar.
They'll probably take it. They'll take it as probably number two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll go for number two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a new temple that's being built now. And it's going to come down from heaven.
Okay.
And Christ and David are going to sit in it.
Al, Tony, Justin, Laz, and Eric, right?
There's another possibility.
Uh-oh.
A fourth possibility. I mean, previous to chapter 10 in Revelations, they were talking about the altar in heaven, the temple in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another. Well, we're going to see it in because later on in verse, we see that there's a temple in heaven. Mm-hmm. That distinguishes the temple that we're talking about in verse 1 here. All right, so Al, Tony, Justin, Eric, and Laz. Why do you guys think it's the 7-year tribulation temple? Like, don't just say because I heard it from somebody.
No.
Give me scripture.
Oh, you want to know the verse? And
yeah. Well, just yell out whatever. You don't have to go to it. Just.
Okay. Well, I would yell out first.
Don't look at your notes.
Oh.
Like, why do you guys think it's?
Because it says from heaven, they see a new temple coming down.
Okay.
From heaven.
Okay.
And the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus and David are going to be sitting in the temple.
Okay. Well, how do you know that's this temple?
The tribulation, when everything comes down.
Yeah,
but what you're talking about is the new heaven and the new earth. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're not talking about that one.
Yeah.
No. I only going by doing a study, as we've been studying and doing some homework, and looking up the fact that apparently, when John wrote Revelation, it was after the destruction of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, and most scholars believe it was written late 80s or maybe the 90s. Early 90s, which is way past it. So I that would be my...
Mm-hmm. It was destroyed.
Maybe some other things.
It was destroyed. You're going by what the view that Revelation was written in 80,
after the destruction of the temple. That's my
okay.
I will go by that.
But there's something more that everybody goes to.
I mean, I go back to option number 4 because you didn't give me that choice. You maybe answer one of those.
Yeah, I'm not.
I would have said option number 4 that I was talking about because he's having a vision in heaven, and he's seeing things in heaven, and they're giving him a rod in heaven
the heavenly temple, right?
To measure
the
heavenly temple. Maybe the heavenly temple.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this. Let's go back. Where's the scripture? Where's
Ezekiel? He talks about he's so specific with how the temple's going to look. I mean, I get the impression, and the way things are going from what I see.
This is key here: the 7-year tribulation period.
Yeah.
The temple. The guys who voted on this. This temple is in this 7-year tribulation period.
Yeah.
Where do we get the 7-year tribulation period?
Daniel 9.
Very good. Everybody go Daniel 9.
And it's very possible that the heavenly temple is the very temple that's going to come down in the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah. I think we're going to see that. But let's look at Daniel 9. And I haven't studied Daniel in a long time, but I'm just going to just overview it, and you guys.
Daniel 9 what?
Verse 20. Now I'm sure everybody's heard of this. In Daniel 9 we have the 70 weeks prophecy.
Oh, yes.
70th week prophecy. Okay? And when we read it, starting in verse 20, let me give you an overview. I'm not 100% on it, because, again, I haven't studied this in a long time, but it talks about Jerusalem being rebuilt. And then it talks about when Jesus will be... It says the Messiah will be cut off, right? What does it say that? Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city to finish.
26 says he should be cut off.
Okay, 26, the Messiah will be cut off. So we see the crucifixion there. So we see a time from when Israel is being rebuilt to the crucifixion, and then It says in verse
27. Confirm a covenant with many for 1 week.
Okay, so that's the debate there, where it says the make a covenant with, what does it say?
With many
for 1 week. That 1 week, people who subscribe to this view here say that's the 7 year tribulation period. So 69 weeks have already come to pass from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the crucifixion, and then there's 1 week left, which is the 70th week prophecy, which is the 1 week, and that's the big debate. Everybody believes everything that Daniel's saying in chapter 9. But when it comes to that verse there, verse 27, where it says 1 week, there's a debate.
But doesn't the 69 weeks lead up to the birth of the Messiah?
No, the birth of the Messiah or the crucifixion of the Messiah?
Well, either...
I don't think the birth. It says the Messiah will be cut off. Verse 26. It says even after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off on the 62 week. But not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city of sanctuary. The end of it with a flood. The end with the words of desolation and determine. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, there you go, in the middle of the week, remember, there's a 7 year tribulation that's going to happen in the middle of the week.
Right.
3.5 year. Mm-hmm. 3.5 year. It says in the middle of the week. What happens in the middle of the week?
What verse are you on?
9:27.
9:27.
What's that?
He will bring an end.
Confirm the covenant.
Confirm the covenant, right?
He'll bring an end to the sacrifice and offering.
Right? And then what happens? The wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate.
Yeah.
The abomination of desolation, that's
even until
the Antichrist.
Consummation, which is the murder.
Right. Okay, so that's the evidence that people go to when they subscribe to this view here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Any questions on that? This is the dispensational pre-mill view.
So in other words, talking about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD.
The rebuilding of Jerusalum was before, like, again, I'm fuzzy with this. In Nehemiah, right,
Nehemiah.
Very good, there you go.
Because when the temple was destroyed was when they stopped sacrificing.
In 70 AD.
And offering grain offering.
Right. So
no, that was 70 AD.
Oh, yeah.
Because they haven't had those traditions ever since then, right?
Correct.
Right.
In Israel, hadn't existed since
then.
Everything stopped.
So
in the Jewish calendar.
So the 1 week that's left is the 7 year tribulation period. Mm-hmm. 7 year.
But Daniel and Isaiah, their prophecies, many of their prophecies were concerned with the immediate, and then there were prophecies for the future. Mm-hmm. That's why it's kind of difficult. You got to really take your time, because you're talking about prophecies that are going to happen. Remember, this was during a lot of these prophecies for rebuilding the temple were because they were
in Babylonia.
Babylonia. And then it had to come back. But then there's also reference to the future.
Mm-hmm. That's when the Pharisees took over Babylonia and they led Nehemiah go back with a whole bunch of people to rebuild Israel.
Mm-hmm. Studying this Daniel prophecy overviewing this. There's a lot more into it. You could go back and do the dates. I have a book that you could date back from Nehemiah when they started rebuilding Jerusalem. It equals the exact amount of years.
And the Persians help them.
We'll see. But, okay, I'm going to get into something right now. Okay, so, Tony, I'm sorry, you going to say something?
I was going to say, verse 24, it talks about 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. That sounds like the end times. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, at the destruction of the temple, you know, in 70 AD, sin hasn't stopped yet. Everybody's still sinning. I mean, the return of the Messiah hasn't happened yet, so I mean, the world's still sinning, you know? Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about 70 AD, or are we talking about end times in 24?
That's the big question.
What did you just read there, Tony, from what?
Verse 24.
Of Daniel 9?
If 62 weeks are to the Messiah, then another 8 weeks, it's to his return, because we're talking about the return of
the Messiah. People,
the, the last week is, at the end of that week, that's the return of Christ.
Yeah. It says it right
there. That's when sins would end.
Right.
If Jesus came to rule, then he being in charge here as king on earth for 1,000 years, he would be ending sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying those 8 weeks represent 2,000 years.
The historic premill view would take this tribulation period as, they won't take it as 7 years. They won't say it's, they'll say it's a tribulation period, but they won't say it's 7 years. They won't take that view that what Daniel's talking about there. But they believe in a tribulation.
Yeah.
And some of it's symbolic and some of it's, you can read it as literal, but they won't take the 7 year. They'll say the tribulation. We'll get there when we get there. So let me read something here for, let's see here. So John was given a reed, a lightweight rod, to be used as a measuring instrument.
Mm-hmm.
John was instructed to measure the temple and the altar, but not the outer court, meaning he was to measure the holy place in the Holy of Holies. Who was only allowed to go in the Holy of Holies?
The high priest.
The priest, right? Mm-hmm. High priest. While others could come into the outer court, only priests could enter into these two rooms, these temple rooms.
Yeah.
The explanation was given that this would be under the control of the Gentiles, who would trample on the holy city for 42 months. 42 months equals what? How many days?
3.5 years, right?
1,257, I think.
Close. Like, yeah, 3.5. 1,260. We'll see it here in, when we read 11. But let me finish here. Why should John measure the temple? Measurement is usually taken of one's possessions, and the temple belonged to God.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar way, the temple of Ezekiel 40 was measured, and the New Jerusalem was measured in Revelation 21. So we see the New Jerusalem being measured also in chapter 21 when we get there. The temple here will be constructed so that the Orthodox Jews can offer sacrifices according to the Mosaic law in the period, in the first half of the 7 year period known as Daniel's 70th week. There's the week, 1 week. Okay? So, obviously, this view here has the pre-trib rapture in it. Pre-trib, that the rapture happens before the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. So the church is not going to experience all this. Only the Jewish, it says here, the Jewish people will experience. Unbelievers, let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the 42 months, great tribulation.
They're going to start sacrificing.
However, the sacrifices will stop and the temple will be desecrated and become a shrine for the world ruler of the great tribulation, who will put an idol in it and proclaim himself to be God. So as we read in Daniel chapter 9, in the middle of the week, the Antichrist is going to do his abomination of desolation.
Mm-hmm.
What does desolation mean? I mean, I've never really stopped and looked up, like, even from a Webster's thing. I think I know what the word desolation
means. What do you think it means?
I've always thought it means, like, an abandoned something in the middle of nowhere that no one has anything to do with. So you're in that entity is in desolation all by itself. But to say abomination of desolation, abomination I have always viewed as a word that means just something that's totally anti what's considered holy and sanctified. But desolation, does it mean it's this entity, this guy, this possessed person, or whatever, he goes in there, he's obviously against everything that has to do with the Bible, but desolation doesn't mean, hey man, you're really all by yourself, go ahead and knock yourself out, and the world will just kind of look at you and say, wow, I guess that guy, he's got the galls, he's got the He has the bravery to go in and do that, but boy, he just goes against everything we've ever thought before. Is that what the word desolation means?
I'll read you what abomination desolation means.
Abandoned.
It's a biblical phrase from the book of Daniel describing an act or an object so detestable that it causes the holy place to become desolate, empty, or destroyed.
Also, it would be empty of anything to do with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then from God's view, he's like turning his head and it's destroyed. And
it's like contaminated. It's like
so much
radiation.
Yeah.
It's like
Antioch Epiphanes, he defiled the Jewish temple by putting what in the temple?
Didn't he put
pigs in
something?
Mm-hmm. So they consider that abomination desolation also.
Yeah, the Jewish people don't eat pigs.
Right. All right, so
Except when they travel to America.
John was also instructed, however, to count the worshippers who came to the temple. Here the thought seemed to be that God will evaluate both the temple and those in it. The tendency of some is to spiritualize the 42 months length of the Great Tribulation. But this is according to this view here, but this should be taken a literal period, as confirmed by the 1,260 days of 11:3. So if you look at 11:3, it gives you that number of 1,000, right? 260 days. Which are 42 months of 30 days each. From this, it is also clear that the times of the Gentiles in Luke 21:24 will not end until the second coming of Christ to earth to set up the kingdom. Though Jews may possess Jerusalem temporarily as they have in the century, they will lose possession in the Great Tribulation. Some believe that the 42 months refer to the first half of Daniel's 70th week, which is here. First half. Mm-hmm. While it is not clear, the evidence surrounding this passage in Revelation seems to refer to the final 3.5 years. This also seems to be confirmed by the fact that in the first half of the last 7 years, the Jews will actually possess the city of Jerusalem and worship in their temple. Whereas here, the context indicates that this is the period when Gentiles will tread upon the holy city, implying ill treatment of the Jews and desecration of the temple. Okay? So that's the dispensational pre-mill view of this, of the temple. That the temple is going to be rebuilt. But all, you know what else is another, if you can use it as evidence, chapter 4 through 19 is what? According to this view here. What's happening in those chapters?
Tribulation.
Right. The Great Tribulation, right? The 7-year tribulation period, according to this view here.
Mm-hmm.
So, guess what? Chapter 11 is in
the middle.
Is in the middle of chapter 4 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can say that this is part of the 7-year tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This view here, symbolically, the church. So the temple is the church, and the two witnesses also is the church. They're taken symbolically. This is the historical premillennial view.
That's 3.5 years, the two witnesses.
Right. So again, they don't take this as a 7-year tribulation. They see a tribulation, but they don't take it to be at 7 years. So let me read a couple things out of historical pre-mill. Historical pre-mill. In the room, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned this view here, the historical pre-mill. The early church fathers held this view. This was held by, who were some of the guys that I mentioned?
Augustine.
Irenaeus. Those early church fathers held the historical premillennial view. They still were premillennial, meaning that that Christ will come to earth and then establish his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, you know, the dispensational premillennial believe that too.
Mm-hmm. He's going to establish his kingdom after the 7 years.
Right. All dispensational are premillennial, but not all premillennial are dispensational. You guys get that?
Say it again.
All dispensational, which is the church, we've subscribed to dispensational theology, are premill, meaning that Jesus comes back after the tribulation and establishes his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. That's premillennial theology. Mm-hmm. So all dispensational are premill, but not all premill are dispensational. And what I mean by dispensational, they don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. They don't believe in a seven-year tribulation.
Who doesn't believe?
These guys don't believe in the pre-trib, and they don't believe in a seven-year tribulation.
All right.
But they do believe in a tribulation, and they do believe in a rapture, but they don't believe it's a pre-trib rapture.
Uh-huh. Right. What are those people called?
Historical premillennialists.
Historical premillennialists.
So rapture, everybody believes in a rapture.
Yes.
Well,
but the question is, the debate is
yeah,
where the date of it. Pre-trib. So this is the tribulation period.
3.5 years.
Tribulation period. We have mid-trib. Some people believe that the rapture is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period. And then we have post-trib. That some people believe that the rapture happens after the tribulation
after
period.
After the tribulation.
So there's three views there.
Mm-hmm. But the rapture happens before.
Why do you know that?
It says it in the Bible.
Where?
I forget about it.
That's a good question to ask. If you believe in the rapture, where do you see that? Many people will say, what would they say? The Thessalonian passage, right?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians
4. They will go the...
Yeah,
what
Thessalonians 4.
We'll be caught
in the cloud.
The church is not appointed to wrath.
Right.
That's 1 Thessalonians 5.
The church is not destined to wrath, but to...
obtain salvation.
To contain salvation.
What's that one that...
Thessalonians 4.
Driving a race car.
How would you defend the pre-trib rapture? You can't go where it says the rapture is going to happen because everybody believes in a rapture. You got to go somewhere where it tells you that it's going to happen before the tribulation period. And they go to that verse. The church was not destined to wrath, and they take the wrath to be the tribulation period. And they'll say they were destined to be to salvation. Is that what it says? Was it 4:9? First 4:9.
Yeah,
it could happen now.
So that's everybody will go to that passage.
Yeah.
And say that's
that defends
pre-trib. Lazarus.
That's
let me have a water.
Defend both the pre-trib and the mid-trib.
That's true too.
Yeah.
The mid-trib too.
Wow, that's
critical. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So, are you going to
if I stretch,
how,
I'll hurt my back.
Like the historical premills view Daniel 9 in relation, and that might be too much, but
yeah,
I was just curious if.
Tell us. How would they see Daniel 9?
So I don't know if this is all historical premills, but Daniel 9, the he that is confirming the covenant for 1 week would be the Messiah. It's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not the he there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of the week, which would be 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So Jesus was the final sacrifice. He caused the other sacrifices to cease.
Mm-hmm.
And then what some also do, I don't know if this is the case for all of them, but they would take the 3.5 years up to Acts 8, where Stephen was stoned. That's the finishing of the 3.5 years being the finished week.
Mm. Very good.
They say this 3.5 years is going to be the greatest revival ever seen. Everybody's going to convert to Jesus Christ.
Look at some of the historical pre-mill think about this temple. Again, we're focusing on the temple. It says, for John, the temple was not a literal building, but the Christian community who worshiped God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it is the church, the people of God. And where does he get that? From 1 Corinthians 3:16, 2 Corinthians 6:16, Ephesians 2:19 and 22. And those verses I just mentioned, those are the verses. Remember, Alan, we were talking about that. That's those verses that say that we are what? Believers are now priests, right? What does it say?
Saints.
Let's see here. Everybody's a priest.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians.
All I can say, and I'm just going to make a comment about what Brandon was describing.
Yeah.
If you're to say that the tribulation happened and ended around the end of Acts, then the devil would be imprisoned, and we'd be, already in that thousand year.
You're right. That's one of the arguments used against that.
I mean, obviously, Satan is still prevalent here on Earth and causing havoc. So,
yeah.
How could you follow that perspective? You know, like.
Well, I think their answer would be they don't necessarily believe in the idea of the 7-year tribulation. They don't believe that necessarily the 70th week of Daniel is directly like 7 years of tribulation. Mm-hmm. They would just say that it was complete at that time. Like, it didn't have to do with like a great tribulation. There would still be tribulation in their view, but not like a 7-year
tribulation. You know, to counter the dispensational view here that 1 week equals seven, that 1 week equals 7 years, they come up with what calendar were they using? Was it a lunar calendar? Was it a solar calendar? Was it I wrote it down, different type of calendars. Mm-hmm. So nobody knows what calendar these people were using. Obviously, they were using some calendar that's going to equal to what they're
teaching. I heard a discussion on that, and they said that back then, during biblical times, they didn't have the knowledge of the shortened year, like what causes the leap year. Mm-hmm. So if you were to add up all those times without the leap year, that it actually shortens the time?
Mm-hmm.
Where it lands perfectly on the Messiah's birth. I heard something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they're... that's how they would counter. They would tell, okay, so... Okay, where do you get this from? You must be using this type of calendar that it's going to equal to what they're teaching here. And I know the two of them, one's the lunar calendar, one's the solar calendar. They don't talk about the Jews, what they used back in those days. And the third one's, I can't remember the third one, but it's another type of calendar they were using.
So in this case, in Daniel 10, the 62 week is when the Messiah is crucified. That's the 62nd week.
At the second, I think it says that, right? In Daniel 9? Daniel 9, not 10.
Daniel 9,
yeah,
verse 26,
mm-hmm.
when the Messiah is cut off.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do a class on the 7th week of Daniel. But like I said, it's very technical. You really gotta spend a whole. I'm not giving it due justice by just
going. You get too confused.
Yeah, I could confuse people.
Yeah.
But let me finish what the historical pre-mill guys were saying. So the church, the temple where we read in Revelation 11 is the church. Okay? Symbolically speaking.
We're going back to Revelation now?
Yeah, but just listen to what I have to say here.
All right.
Whatever the imagery may have intended, if it originally belonged to a Jewish apocalypse, there's little doubt that for John it means that God will give spiritual sanctuary to the faithful believers against the demonic assault of the Antichrist. The protection of believers symbolized by the measuring of the temple. So they say by the measuring of the temple is the protection of the believers, of the Christians. Not the Jews,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they don't think this is a temple for a Jewish temple. They think it's the church.
Mm-hmm.
So was not secured against physical suffering, death, but against spiritual danger. It corresponds to the sealing of verses 1 through 8 in Revelation, which did not protect physical death, but ensured entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Since the altar is linked so closely with those worshiping in the holy place, it should probably be taken as the altar of incense. The objection that only the priests were permitted to enter the inner sanctuary, hence those worshiping could not represent the entire body of the faithful, is countered by the New Testament teaching that all believers, here it is, that all believers are in fact part of the royal priesthood. That's 1 Peter, what we're talking about, Al.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 2, Revelation 1, and Revelation 5. So the temple is the church, or the church is the temple, and who's going to be doing these duties, these functions in the church? Us, the believers.
The saints.
The believers.
Yeah. So, as just said it, like Noah, when he was building the ark, Everybody was making fun of him. There was one door to go in. Same way now. There's one door to go in.
And 1 Peter 2:5.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You go through Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Amen. Says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the believer now.
Yeah.
He's part of this royal priesthood. We don't need to go, like I was telling Al the other day, we don't need to go to a priest to confess our sins. We can do it ourselves. Jesus, the mediator between man and God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you said today, you say, I say, God, please forgive me.
No. There's a lot of things to cover here. About. I know we're running out of time, but that's the historical pre-mill. They'll see the temple as symbolic of the church. Mm-hmm. So now the preterist view, or the amillennial view, amill, they're saying that this temple is the temple that was happening during John's time. Mm-hmm. So what? Brandon's the only one who took that view. Why would you say that, Brandon?
Because I think Revelation is dated before 70 AD.
Very good. So
I'm not necessarily preterist or anything.
No, I know that. But that, just like Al said earlier, that this he thinks this is the tribulation time because AD 90 is the dating of Revelation. So Brandon takes the view that Revelation was written before AD 90, 60s around there, 70s?
Yeah.
So that's the temple that was during the time of John. So he was actually telling John to measure this temple that was standing up, that was erected during that time. You see what I'm saying? And so,
yeah, but John was probably not in Jerusalem at that time.
No, he was in the island.
Say again?
John was probably not in Jerusalem at that time. He was away. He was...
When he was told to measure the temple?
Yeah.
But where's the temple at?
Jerusalem.
It's only in his mind at the time he's writing.
So you're saying John wasn't in Jerusalem when he had to measure the temple?
In the 50, when 60 AD? No, he wasn't. By the island of Platamus up in that area.
Yeah, he was in jail now. But remember, this is a vision now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
Jesus took him.
Good point. He's taking the view that... Obviously, if you take the view that it's Revelation, it's 1890, that'll debunk what he's saying. But he's taking the view that it's 1860, so it'll debunk what you're saying. So it's a debate, going back and forth. But let me give you some evidence here, according to these people, what they believe. In Revelation, so they say elements of Revelation 11 must be understood in tandem with Revelation 12:6. Look at 12:6 of Revelation.
Revelation 12:6.
What do we see in Revelation 12:6?
Then a woman fled into the wilderness, mm-hmm. where she saw she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days.
So we see that number where? Also in what? Verse 2, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the 42 weeks, right?
Or the 42 months, right? Yeah.
42 months.
And it also says, verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth.
Yeah.
So they say that needs to go to, what we're reading there needs to go together with 12:6 there. Mm-hmm. The temple and the altar is taken by many students and commentators as proof that John is commanded to measure the actual earthly temple in Jerusalem of his day. So what he's saying is that this angel is telling him specifically to measure the temple and the altar. Mm-hmm. So if he's telling him specifically to do these things, this is their view. It's not what I subscribe to, but that means that it's talking about the actual temple in Jerusalem of his day. Mm-hmm. So again, the implication of this view is Revelation is written before 70 AD, this year in which Jerusalem temple was destroyed by the Romans. Others argue the reverse, that Revelation 11:19 qualifies or defines 11:1. And here we go. Go to 11:19 in Revelation. This is your view, Tone. The temple of God was opened where?
In heaven.
I asked Tony. Tony's too slow. Tony, right?
No, he's thinking of the correct concise.
And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened.
Right. So others argue the reverse, that Revelation 11:19, what we just read, defines 11:1. So that temple is probably the same temple as in 11:19. Oh, look, the one in heaven. You took that view, right? Remember I brought it down here? God. The heavenly temple.
And it says, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple.
Now, what happened to the ark of covenant? Where is it at?
Well, it's in heaven. It just said it right there. It just said it right there.
Yeah.
Others argue the reverse, that Revelation 11:19 qualifies or defines 11:1. The point would be that Revelation 11:19 describes the temple in 11:1. And so the temple 11:1 is a heavenly temple. The implication of this view is that Revelation was written after 70 AD.
You know, it kind of makes sense that God would take away the Ark of the Covenant from this world. And it probably is in heaven.
It probably is. It disappeared.
There was a copy made. Maybe the copy's still here, and that's the one they found, but nobody dare touch it.
Yeah.
Let's suppose they do build a little. I don't know if you ever went to Disney or to Orlando to visit when they had the that thing there. What was it called? That was the rebuilding of Jerusalem Temple. What was that place called?
The
Holy Land Experience. I went a couple of times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the little building, if you think of that, if you think today or tomorrow or next year they finally have some kind of peace agreement from maybe the Abraham Accords or something, and they say, hey, we're going to let the Jews build this little building up on the mount there, and they're going to share it with the other guys. What, if we were thinking, what measurements would they use to build that building? Will it be the measurements in the Old Testament that they did during the Second Temple? Or will it be something more
bigger?
But based on what? If you had to bet in Vegas, what's the most likely size that thing's going to be? I would say it's going to be more likely the Second Temple size. And yet they can't build out the whole rest of the area because they already have the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque up there. But they could build this other little building that would fit. Because if you've ever seen the drawings of the whole thing when those guys when the Muslims weren't there, the women and everybody could go all around, but then they had a little inner fence, and only men could go in there, and then they had the actual little building itself, and only the high priest could go in there. So if you do away with that, then you can, quote, share the site. You can build the building. You know, imagine this tabletop is it, and here's the Dome of the Rock, and here's the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and then here's the little building. Then the whole site would be shared. You'd have this, and now, like the Bible verse says, they can be for the Gentiles, which means anybody who's not Jewish, and then this little area with its little fence would be only for the Jews. Mm-hmm. And that would fulfill, I think, that would fulfill everything. Mm. And it would make that site usable by a shared, you know, why can't we just go? They could, the big sign will be coexist as you're walking up. It'll have the big coexist banner at the gate. They can share the site.
Those who, you know, the dispensational premillennial view see this temple being built where the Dome of the Rock is at now,
right,
and the Wailing Wall is at.
Right. One of the things the Jews want to do is they want to go up there and survey because they believe they can figure out where it was actually built. And with pre-surveys, with drones and things they've looked at from underneath, they say, not Gentile people, but Jewish scholars say, it wasn't exactly where that Dome of the Rock is a little bit off to the side of it.
There's also a possibility, you never know, that a tremendous earthquake happens and the entire dome falls down. Everything falls down there, and then the Jewish people decide to wipe it out and build a new temple.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw this movie one time.
Who can make that happen if he wanted?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But doesn't it say that new temple, it's going to be built on top of a mountain, and it's going to come down from heaven, and
that's a different temple. That's the final 1,000.
All right. Yeah.
What were you saying, Justin?
No, I was just like, back in the 90s, early 2000s, there was a lot of end time movies out at that time. And I remember one where there was a terrorist attack at the Dome of the Rock where someone blew it up, and then the Antichrist rose up and built the temple and the built by the rock side by side.
Yeah.
This guy, again, kind of what you were talking about, right?
But I don't think the Antichrist is going to build the temple. I think
he's just going to come to.
He'll come and
see the abomination
desolation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what happened.
That's when a lot of Jews will say.
Another thing, also, that's pretty interesting. Is, and I read this a long time ago, that at the Dome of the Rock, what gate is it that, I think Zechariah says that when Jesus comes back, he's going to enter through the east gate. So,
Mount of Olives is on the east gate.
At the Dome of the Rock, this temple, this, you know, Dome of the Rock is a Muslim temple, right? So, and the east gate of that Dome of the Rock, they, this is, I don't know if this is true or not, this is something I just heard. That there's they put dead bodies, they bury dead bodies. So, and you know, according to Jewish tradition, Jews are not allowed to
walk over
dead bodies because that'll make them unclean. So they think that since when Jesus comes back, that he's not gonna be able to go through that gate because there's dead bodies.
Right.
But that's just.
Well, that's not at the Dome of the
true,
Rock.
Though.
That's that's outside the perimeter of Jerusalem to prevent. Jesus coming from the mount and entering, I think, Jerusalem from the east side.
That's what I'm saying.
They've done grave sites like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Muslim built their cemetery there.
Their cemetery, yeah.
But you understand there's going to be an earthquake.
How do you know that?
I read it.
Where?
When Jesus steps on the Mount of Olives, there will be an earthquake.
Yeah, the mountain's going to split.
He's
right about that.
Yeah.
The mountain's going to split.
There's going to be a river going through there.
Oh, a river?
A river, yeah.
Yeah, water's going to come forth and split through it. But I think that's after all of this.
So this is pretty interesting, the different views in the temple.
I got to remember where I read all this.
The temple could, you know.
Again,
end time prophecy shouldn't divide us. This is something just to study. It's great. It's good to study this stuff, you know? Because you never know. Somebody might ask you this question. What? Who holds this view? Why do they hold it? Because this. Or because of this. Or, you know. Again, there's more to this. This is just, you know, doing an overview of it. Especially this 70-week. This week, we got to spend, like, hours just reading this 7-week.
You
got
to explain it good,
prophecy.
You know.
Yeah, but I can't. You know, we're limited here in time. John,
in Ezekiel 40, I know we're at the end, but it's very interesting. It says, the heading says, a new city, a new temple. And again, this is Ezekiel, and he said he saw a vision. He saw a vision, took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. I mean, all that. It's, I don't know, it could be a reference to...
To John?
Reference to what we're reading. Building, a rebuilding of the new temple.
A new temple.
Of a new building.
And a new city.
These notes I gave you guys, is it's not taking any of these views here. It's trying to be more in the middle. So the mention... Yeah, go ahead.
I think a crucial... And I don't know if we can maybe biblically get more information, but I think it's very crucial when John wrote this letter in Revelation.
If we know for sure when he wrote it, it'll clear up
a lot. It's huge.
It will clear up a lot of
because again, when I studied it, most scholars and a very few take the position that it was written before the destruction of the temple.
Yeah.
So that's crucial.
George Scott was taken in 1890.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you're not, it's, that's a long, I mean, that's like 20 years after.
So
if it was, if the debate was between, AD 68 as opposed to AD 72, I would say, but 80, 85, 88, 89, 90, 91.
He was in his 80s.
John, I think, was the only one that lived out his...
He lived his life. Completely.
Now, we said this before, we mentioned it, that the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, you know, being burned and the destruction of the temple was something huge during that time.
Yeah.
So if you were to write a book or scripture, you would mention...
Well, Jesus says, yeah, he was very specific about, do you see these stones? Not one stone. And they said that when, I think I was talking with Tony about it yesterday, that when the army came in and they burned down the building, the temple, and that the gold was being melted.
Yeah, the gold on the roof because it was such a shiny.
And that they, to the very tip, the end of the crack of the stone, and it's like, wow. When Jesus said that, not one
melting
stone.
Everything down.
Yeah, everything melted.
To take away, to extract the gold.
Yeah.
So scholars, they when they, you know, when they do a study Bible or when they write a commentary, the way they write down the date of a book is by, did Luke talk about, or did, well, for example, it's Hebrews. In Hebrews, there's no mention of the temple being destroyed or Jerusalem being destroyed. So it's a guess. That was written, what, before AD 70, right? So now, if you read a book that talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and the burning of the temple, the guess is that it's going to be written, what, after AD 70. So some people believe that all the books in the Bible were written before AD 70.
But you know, too, also, John, when you look at the book of Acts, everything that happens after Jesus was crucified and the church was born, everything is moving away. The thrust of the gospel and the life of the early Christians, it's moving away from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's
especially of the persecution.
Yes, but you know, there's no mention to, you know, but I mean, other than, you know, when they had to come, when Paul comes on the scene, and he has to go back to Jerusalem, and they're trying to explain that the gospel is going out to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. But then after that, there's like, it's almost like it's just, you know, swept aside.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of temple life. No, you know, it's everyone's scattered, and then
and
in the epistles.
The gospel.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Paul would go. He would go and come back.
Yeah,
he'll go and then come back.
Yeah, but after a while, it was like, that's it. Yeah. I mean, there's no emphasis for going back to Jerusalem. No emphasis for temple life.
Was
no,
crucified.
It's almost like, it's almost implied, is that the right word? It's almost like given, like, okay, this is going to be set aside, and then all that to say is where we're at now. We're going to come to this point where the temple.
No, it wasn't crucified, it was beheaded.
Who, Paul?
Paul.
Was Paul beheaded?
Yeah.
Tradition.
The Romans did. Beheaded.
So, yeah, I wanted to get into the two witnesses, but...
thanks a lot. That'd probably fall on me.
Well, whenever we come together...
We can still do it. I mean, if you guys want to stick around...
Man?
All right.
Yeah, he has to use the bathroom.
I got to use the
bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's just read it, and then we got to come
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Where are we going to read? Because there's still more to talk about with verse 2 about the Gentiles, the outer court. They would tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. 42 months equals 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
So, I don't know. And I will give power to my two witnesses.
Mm-hmm. For 3.5 years.
They will prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth.
Yeah.
So, are they prophesying in the first 3.5, in the first 3.5, or the second 3.5?
First 3.5.
How do you know that?
Because after that, the first 3.5, they laid them on the ground for 3.5 days.
Okay. Well, does that mean what does that mean? Does that mean this half?
This half.
I know, but why?
Why? Because...
Laz. Don't put Laz.
No.
But
no.
Why?
Why? Because they... 3.5 years was the tribulation split. 3.5 years. And they preached for 3.5 years. And they killed them. Yeah. The first half.
Okay.
And then they killed them. The Israelis tried to kill them with guns, but they couldn't.
Okay.
But the British came, and they shot him, and they killed him.
The British came and shot the two witnesses?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that one before. I've heard some stories about it, but I've never heard
I heard it. Yeah. I hope it's true, but I heard it.
So it's the British who got rid of the two witnesses.
Yeah.
The British aren't mentioned in the Bible.
No, but I.
If you had to bet in Vegas, would you bet that? Do you believe that, or are you just repeating?
I heard it on TBN.
Let's not make fun of this. Look, we all agree that the British aren't mentioned in the Bible, so this can't be a possibility. No,
maybe I've been.
Make sure you edit that when you're recording this.
At least I got everybody laughing.
Honestly, you're a comedian too.
Yeah.
See, the historic pre-mill guys will say that the tribulation period is 3.5. They won't say it's 7. They won't say it's 7 years. They'll say 3.5. So
yeah. So that's the thing. Now, the timeline of it is, it's 7 years. But that means on day one is as bad as day, 7.5 years later? No. Day one, you start seeing things. And day two might be a little bit of darkness feeling. And day three seems a little worse. And if not up until you really get to the middle, did a whole bunch, till this desolation guy pops in there. And you can, and people who have rejected getting the mark of the beast, getting their heads chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen on day one? And to me, it doesn't. That's why some can make the argument, if the rapture occurred one day after the start of the 7-year tribulation, those people being raptured aren't going to really feel much of anything. But technically, they could say, I was raptured within the time frame of the tribulation. Right? If you got raptured pre-trib, would technically mean the minute before it started.
Yeah.
And then you get into the question of, what becomes the trigger that you truly know you've come into the time frame of tribulation? And the general teaching I've always heard is, if you hear of the announcement of, and the revelation of, obviously you're a guy who's studying and looking at the Bible, but if you have the revelation of who's the Antichrist, that's becomes then the start of that time frame.
But the Antichrist comes in the middle.
He comes, but you still could know who he is beforehand. But let's suppose you couldn't know until the middle.
Yeah.
Nothing is revealed until that time. If that means the tribulation's been going on, God's tribulation on earth has been going on for 3.5 years, and yet we've all those who have been in it have been in it, but they really haven't felt anything, or they haven't felt the full brunt of it until that time the guy reveals who he is.
Like the Amil, granted, the Amil people believe that we're in the tribulation now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're in the tribulation now, but obviously they're not taking it literal. They're taking it,
Or maybe they believe, they don't say it. I heard an interesting talk the other day. There's two tribulations going on. There's two wraths going on. There's the wrath of man and there's the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, the wrath of God, does it fall in the 7-year tribulation? And if so, at what point?
Yeah.
Or right now, if we lived in the Middle East and we're hiding in a warehouse trying to do this, we'd say, we're already in tribulation. Are we under wrath of God? No. But God's letting the wrath of these idiots around us kill us. So that's pretty bad too. But it's not God doing it per se. It's bad Muslims, Islamists doing it.
I want to end with the 2-hour trees, what you sent me with.
And then when you finish, I want to end something with me.
Okay. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anybody wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. So again, are we taking these two witnesses as literal, or we're taking them symbolically? And it says that these two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, what comes out of their mouth?
Fire.
And if anyone wants to harm them, he must what? Be killed in this manner, right? These have the power to shut what?
Heaven.
So that no rain falls in the days of their prophets. It's pretty familiar what happened with Moses and who was the other one? Elijah? And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with plagues, as Moses, as often as they desire.
Wasn't there a drought that lasted 3.5 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was that during Elijah's time?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's interesting how it says
as often as they desire.
Mm. So now go ahead. What this points back to Zechariah, right? You were mentioning earlier when we were talking.
Yeah.
These two lampstands go back to Zechariah 3 and 4. So let's go to Zechariah real quick, and then you can take it from there. Because a lot of people like to, you know, and you know, they like to act, you know, they like to say, okay, this is these two witnesses is either Elijah, it's either Moses, it's either who's the other one?
Enoch.
Or you know, whoever. But I think when we go to Zechariah, I think we see it a little better, right, Al?
Yeah, because he asked, "Who are they?" And I mean, there's the only other place where the two olive trees are mentioned.
Zechariah,
how much you want to read?
Zechariah, it's chapter 3 and 4. You know, we'd have to read the whole chapter.
Zechariah, what?
Chapter 3 and 4.
Okay.
So the two figures, just the two figures that were seen here, the two witnesses, appear to be Zerubbabel in chapter 4 of Zechariah. He was the governor. And then we see Joshua in chapter 3 as the high priest. And the task at hand was the rebuilding of the temple. Mm-hmm. Perhaps John used this imagery to recall the crucial spiritual principle articulated in the chapter, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says
yes.
The Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
You want to add that something to that, Al?
I just like the idea of it's again here. In the portion here in Zechariah, we know that the two olive trees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he makes a reference to Zerubbabel, and then I guess Joshua before. But the important thing is that is not to get so bogged down with identifying who these two people are, but the principle of it.
Mm-hmm.
That they obviously have power given from God, and that it's not based on our power, our effort. It's God's Spirit empowering us,
mm-hmm.
and also
mm-hmm.
guiding us.
Yeah.
And just as He...
We got the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Right.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit.
So as He did, and back in Zechariah's day when He rebuilt the temple and the captives came back,
mm-hmm.
and He used Zerubbabel as the leader of the people,
mm-hmm.
and Joshua as the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the same, the principle or the important thing to remember is whoever these two individuals are, and I think they are individuals, they are acting
as
through the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
and they're. There's probably some leadership aspect applied to it along with the spiritual aspect.
Right. Yep. That's pretty good.
I mean, and I know I mentioned it, and I think it's worth to mention, you know, and not to lose sight of the fact is not to get so bogged down with identifying the preciseness of these images and these symbols,
mm-hmm.
not to lose what the message is behind it.
The principle behind the
principle and the message of what God is showing us and telling us.
Mm-hmm.
These great judgments, these terrible judgments, is a consequence of the great salvation that God has offered the world in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And by rejecting that, this is the terrible consequence.
Yeah.
We can't lose sight of that.
A lot of people are rejecting Christ. And they're still doing it.
Yeah. There's nothing good. There's no greater gift that God can give a human being than to save their souls from damnation. And for you to reject that.
It's John 3:16.
It's the level.
That's it.
Yeah.
John 3:16.
This is the consequence.
Yeah.
This terrible judgment,
yeah.
I mean.
Let's end the night with, go ahead, Laz, before you get say something to us.
All right, they sent me to the cardiologist. and they found out that my heart wasn't popping good. I could have passed away. So I'm taking medication for my heart.
Mm, okay. Wow.
Just like Eric Palmer, EP, takes medication for his heart too.
Yeah.
I think his heart goes too fast. Yours doesn't go.
Doesn't go that.
And they didn't say you need a pacemaker?
No. No, so they gave you some medication for the blood to keep going.
Oh, like blood thinners?
Yeah. No. To make the heart go. Boom,
oh,
boom. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's something that's clogged. That's clogging.
There's no clog.
Oh, there's no clog.
No clog.
Oh, wow.
No. But they got this. But as soon as my daughter comes next month. They got this Vinion made in Israel that helps pump the blood more and makes you stronger.
Wow.
The medication?
Medication. You got to buy it online.
Oh. Well, that's good, though. Yeah. At least you don't have to go have surgery or any procedure.
Yeah. Or a pacemaker, yeah. Doesn't Vince have a pacemaker?
Just make sure that whatever medication you take is prescribed by your doctor. Not,
it did.
It's not online, you know.
No, it's prescribed by my doctor. Yeah, I got it.
Vinny is the, it's basically like resveratrol, which is that derivative from red wine.
From red wine, yes.
And they sell it on, now they might have a pharmacy grade and a non-pharmacy grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it on the TVN network.
Yeah.
Between the shows.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you drink red wine?
No, I don't drink alcohol.
They say that taking Vinny is the equivalent of like drinking
one bottle of wine.
50 bottles. Because it's derived from the red, from the part of the grape that's good for your system.
For your system.
And it's basically this chemical compound called resveratrol, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
So you can buy it from TVN or you can buy it from the supplement houses and get organically made resveratrol, which is the same thing.
Same thing. What houses?
Well, I don't know. I always buy it off. I get it off Amazon. Just look up resveratrol.
But don't they have a store or something you can go to and get it?
I don't think you can go to. You maybe can go to CVS and have it, and they'll have the industrial.
The generic
one?
Hey, what's the name of it?
Res. A troll. Like a troll.
How do you spell it?
R-E-S.
R-E-S. Write it down. Last. R-E-S.
V-E-R.
V-E-R.
A. Like troll. T-R-O-L.
So it's something over the counter?
Yeah, but it could be that he did go to a doctor that actually gave him a pharmaceutical grade.
Yeah, he gave me a pharmaceutical grade.
But maybe Vinia makes both. But I know that on TV, like on the Dr. Phil show and stuff like that, they advertise Vinia, and I always see it, and it's like, whoa, that stuff's expensive.
We write better than this.
They even sell Vinia on Amazon.
I can text it. You want to spell it for me? I can.
And they even sell it straight from Vinia.
I can text it.
Where, on Amazon?
They sell it at Amazon and from Vinia and and from a bunch of outlets.
Resveratrol.
I'm not good at that. My daughter's good at all that.
I'll send it to you, Laz. Res.
And they have the consumer reviews. Does it really work? So we'll find out.
Cool.
All right, fellas, don't forget about Friday. If you guys are going to come, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
Yeah,
Brandon's going to be leading the... I like what you said about it. You made me think a lot.
Owl Church. All right, I got it.
So what would be the next date that you're going to restart the Bible study?
We got to figure out... I was thinking about inviting you guys to come over to my house where we could do finish up. But we got to see. I remember last year we went to Ralph's house, right?
Oh, who's Ralph? Had an awesome study.
Oh, that was awesome that day.
Yeah, we can.
We'll see.
Yeah. Who's Ralph?
Ralph, remember Ralph?
Vigil?
No.
He come moved on. To, yeah, Ralph. Ralph, come
oh.
on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I talked to him about a month ago, and, you know, he was in the middle of moving. It was a little stressful.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Moving is horrible.
Yeah. I haven't called him back. I got to stay in touch. I want to go visit him, you know.
Where's he at?
Boynton Beach. It's really nice out there. They got a lot of developments over there. It's really nice. I was there a couple of weeks ago.
That's on the East Coast or the West Coast of Florida? Boynton Beach.
East Coast. Boynton Beach is like before or after Delray? Is it before?
I think it's
just north of Delray.
Or north, it's, yeah, it's in that area. I think so. But it's all, they have all these developments, you know, it's all these new, nice, beautiful, really nice.
Yeah.
Very new, where? Yeah. I, in Boynton Beach.
Boynton Beach, yeah.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it already. He sent it to me.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Father in heaven, we praise you and we glorify your name. Thank you for this time of digging and searching and researching and doing all these things to read your word and to just I guess to edify us, Lord, to know these things, Lord. But you know the truth, and we pray that you show us your ways, and pray for Laz that you continue to be with him, strengthen him. Lord, we pray that this medicine will work for his heart and that he could be with us for many years to come, Lord. So pray for his daughter that she's going to be coming. Pray for her safety. She comes from the Bahamas, and pray that they just have a great time here while she visits her dad. Lord, thank you for all my brothers here. Bring them home safe to their families, and we'll see Friday, Lord, if it's your will, that we'll get together again to study your word. Mm-hmm. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. But I haven't told my daughter. I'm not going to tell her.
Tell her what?
What's going on.